Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, our very special guest is Tracer X. He'll be joining us momentarily. And Joy Nugs, how's your night been? Nugs, are you there? Hello. Okay, Nugs is I can't hear Nugs. Okay, well, anyway, I will go over to CWF Mid-Atlantic results this past Saturday night. It is the Carolina Wrestling Live card of the week, and it happened at the Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium this past Saturday night. I'll go over the results one by one. The opening contest, Michael McAllister teamed up with Sis, and they defeated the team of CB Suave and Gil Quest. In the next match, Jesse Adler took on Ethan Alexander Sharp 1-on-1. And your winner of that contest, Jesse Adler. In the next contest, Smith Garrett took on Darius Lockhart. The winner of the match, Smith Garrett. And for the CWF Tag Team Championship, the team of Trevor Lee and Chet Sterling defended against Eric Royal and Ray Kendrack. And in a big, big upset, your winners and new CWF Tag Team Champions are the team of Eric Royal and Ray Kendrack. They defeated Trevor Lee and Chet Sterling. In a tag team contest, the team of Zane Dawson and Dave Dawson, the brothers, defeated the team of the Brutes, Jimmy Parker and Mark James. And in the main event for the CWF Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship, Brad Attitude defeated the challenge of Roy Wilkins. Hey, Nugs, what's up, brother?
How you doing, brother? How you doing? I don't know what we're doing. Must have been a gremlin online. I had technical difficulties. I tried to call in, and it gave me a little glitch. Hopefully, we got over that. You guys are tuned in to Power Hour. We're going to be here every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Call us here on the hotline if you're listening now, live at 347-850-1893. I heard you talking. You already did the recap. It sounds phenomenal. We're going to have a great week in wrestling. I can tell it, James.
Okay, coming up this weekend, we got great wrestling shows coming up. This Saturday, December the 12th, in Elizabethtown, North Carolina, OSF New Beginnings will be holding a show. in Elizabethtown, such talent like John Schuyler, Moose, Caleb Conley, Zane Dawson, Rob Killjoy, and many, many more will be in Elizabethtown at the National Guard Armory this Saturday. It's OSF New Beginnings, so check that out if you're in that area. Also, SWA has a big show in Forest City, North Carolina, at the National Guard Armory there. The big main event will be J.R. Reynolds defending the SWA championship against Cedric Alexander, a huge contest there. Ethan Case will also be in action. Also down in Orangeburg, South Carolina, CWA Pro Wrestling at the National Guard Armory. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be there in Orangeburg for a meet and greet. So great wrestling action this coming weekend.
Definitely, definitely.
So we're waiting on Tracer X to come on in a few minutes. Well, Nuts, what's going on with you? How's your weekend then?
The weekend was phenomenal. I wish they would have gave you an extra day. I think we ought to have Saturday, Sunday, and then another day before Monday called Fun Day, and that would be great. We could just sit around and watch wrestling on TV and have a great time. What do you think? We ought to put that into on the calendar. But I had a great weekend. I'm looking forward to another great weekend this weekend. And I'm going to tell you, that lineup, that is proof to let you know that there is some great wrestling out here in the Carolinas. The indie scene is strong, and it's only getting better. So if you people are out here and you haven't called in the show, call in, be a part of our show. If you're a wrestler and you got an event that we don't know about, call and let us know about it. If you're a fan and you want to ask a question or you have a comment or something we talked about, or you want to talk to one of our guests, call us up, be a part of the show. This is our show, not just your show. This is Carolina Wrestling Live, and, you know, we're pushing the best in the indies. And I'm proud to be a part of the show, James, where it's only going to get better. It's going to get bigger as time builds. Last week alone, I had over 300 friend requests on my Facebook. And so people are definitely paying attention. I know it's out there, James. We might be able to see it, but people are listening. And the best thing about these type of shows is they listen. They later on, when it gets on the archives, and they're downloading the stuff off of iTunes. So the show's out there. It's gonna be a monster when we finish. The best thing is, it's not just us. It's for the wrestlers. It's for the fans. And that's the important part. People got to understand that. It's not the Joey Nugs show. It's not the James Shaver show. It's Carolina Wrestling Live. And that's a good thing, James.
Coming at you three nights a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. We are here to stay three nights a week, interviewing the Carolina Wrestling's top wrestlers each and every week, three nights a week, we are here. And we got right now standing by Tracer X.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Tracer,
hey,
how you
Tracer
doing,
X, how's it going?
How's
Welcome
going
to
right?
Carolina
yeah,
Wrestling Live
out.
Radio.
First time.
Well, Tracer X, you got a big event coming up this Saturday at SWA in Forest City. Tell us about your big match coming up this Saturday at SWA.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to be at SWA this week, actually.
Oh, my bad.
Oops. Yeah. Yeah, I got suspended for trying to help Josh Cutshaw, you know, that whole ordeal where he got handcuffed to the ropes and beaten with a chair, you know, that deal. So,
okay, tell us a little bit about that. What happened? What happened with you over there in SWA, and how did you get suspended?
You know, dirty general manager Daniel Bigelow, you know, helping J.R. Reynolds by slamming the steel cage door on Josh Cutshaw. You know, I came to the rescue after the match was over because, you know, he was just beating him with a chair. There was no need for that. So someone had to do something, and I got suspended, you know, for the next show.
Yeah, but with your reputation, I'm sure it's not going to be hard. I'm sure other promoters are freaking calling your phone off the hook right now to book you this weekend. You probably already booked someplace.
No. Yeah, I'm booked at CWA.
See that? He's already got another booking. That's when you know you're a top notch wrestler, when you can say, I got suspended over there, but this promoter wants me to come over there right now because he knows if he puts me in a card, I'm going to help draw and sell some tickets at his front door. That's what it's about. That's the value of a wrestler. People can say about everything they do. At the end of the day, your value is how many tickets you can sell, because that's what the promoter looks you at, as. I don't know if that's how you feel, but that's how I've always felt.
I mean, I love the fans that come. As long as they're paying to, you know, see me, I'm happy.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. It's all about the fans, because without them, there's no one to entertain. Keep going, James.
Well, tell us, right now you're having a run in CWA Pro Wrestling as the CWA Light Heavyweight Champion. Tell us about your run as the Light Heavyweight Champion there, and how are you enjoying that?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I faced a lot of top-notch cruiserweight guys, you know, Rob Killjoy, Joey Ford, John Schuyler, Crucifix, you know, just had a bunch of amazing matches in Orangeburg, and going back Saturday is just going to be like another milestone, but it's going to be another, you know, just great show to where anything can happen.
So who are you facing this Saturday?
I've been informed that it's Crucifix again, but you know how the card is subject to change, so you never know.
Okay. Also, are you also involved in Flatline Wrestling in Augusta as well, or in Grovetown, Georgia as well? You're involved in that promotion. Was you? Did you have a match there recently?
Last Saturday. Yeah, this past Saturday, me and James Drake went one-on-one for the first time. I'm glad that you know, Georgia put that together for us. But you know, for the fans, it was a really good match to watch. And, you know, I just hope that everybody that gets to see this match will book it further on down the road, because it's one that, you know, is definitely in my, like, top 10 of favorites, probably in, like, the top 5.
So who won that match?
James Drake. He went over a little dirty, powder to the eyes, while his manager distracted the referee. So, yeah, sometimes a good guy doesn't always win, but when the bad guys are playing dirty, you can't help but lose.
All right. Now, your name is Tracer X. Well, why don't you tell us, where did you get the name Tracer X from?
A lot of people have different speculations about where I got it from. They think I got it from, like, combining the straight-edge lifestyle with Speed Racer X, you know. But,
that's what I thought.
That's a really good theory. But for some reason, my brother just started calling me that in high school, and it kind of stuck. And the only reason that I went with it is because Ethan Case gave me a pair of knee pads, my very first pair. And they said Trace, and like really bright white on them. So I was like, it's a sign. I've got to do it.
Yeah, when you get a free pair of knee pads and they got half your nickname on it, you know it's a sign from above. And you got to go by Tracer X. There you go. Thank God it wasn't a jock strap. You'd been in trouble. Anyhow, keep on.
Oh, yeah. that's free marketing right there.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. That knee pad company should be giving you some kind of residual, brother, for putting your name on their pads.
They owe me some money.
They do owe you some money. A couple of fazoos. Keep going, James. You're doing good, because I'm ready to take over questions.
All right, man. Now, who is Tracer X? Tell us about the persona of Tracer X. Those who do not know about Tracer X, what is the persona of Tracer X?
Tracer X, you know, is like the high-flying, charismatic, you know, superstar that as soon as he comes out of the curtain, just ball of fire, full of energy. You know, wants everybody up on their feet, screaming, yelling, cheering. You know, just not being, like, grounded. Like, when I come out, I want you to forget whatever problems or whatever you're having and just have fun and enjoy your night. And, like, especially for kids, like, I want to be a good role model for them. Like, some people, like me, they didn't have, like, a father figure growing up to look up to. So I kind of want to be that for kids.
All right. And how long have you been in the business?
I've been working for about almost 5 years now.
Okay, where did you get your training at?
Ups and downs along the way. I got my training starting in Hendersonville, North Carolina. HBW, old throwback shout out, you know. Met a lot of really cool people there that helped me, you know, spread the name, you know, get me out there in different places. Without meeting people there, I wouldn't be at SWA or CWA or Flatline. People like Ethan Case, like, he's one of the guys that on Saturdays before the shows would show up and help train. And, you know, I'm really thankful for that because he's helped me out a lot.
All right, where did you get the inspiration to use the 450 splash as a finishing maneuver?
Well, nobody was really doing it where I was at the time, and I was the smallest guy in the locker room. Most of the time, I still am, especially like standing next to people like Six or Timber or Michael Judas. So, I had to do something to stand out, and you know, that way people know when I go up, they know I'm fixing to win. And so, hit a big devastating move like that from a little guy like me isn't going to do much with, you know, a choke slam or something. So I got to do something that's really devastating for somebody of my stature. Just figure 450, can do a front flip and a half, do it.
All right. Who would you say your toughest opponent is?
My toughest opponent. Gosh. There's just too many great ones. You know, this time last year, Josh Cutshaw and myself were doing, you know, this long feud. And that was just pure entertainment for anybody watching. You know, we had a no DQ match, if I lost, I had to quit wrestling match, you know, just that was a really good match or feud with him. Rob Killjoy, like, no matter what night or where we're at, when you put us together in a ring, we bring magic. So definitely one of those two.
All right, what is the best moment so far in your wrestling career, your proudest moment, your proudest achievement so far in your wrestling career?
Now, that is a tough one.
That's not a hard one. You say you're on the show with an interview. Come on, man. That was your spot. That was a segue. Come on, man.
God, sorry, I wasn't talking to the coach. You didn't text me the answers, guys. I mean, sorry.
I know. You gotta get these answers to you ahead of time. Tracer, let me ask you this, brother. Have you ever, and this is not taken away from your abilities, have you ever thought with the abilities that you got as a high flyer that you wouldn't be a part of a phenomenal tag team?
I could see you
in a tag team with like a Josh Magnum. Somebody else that's that what he's got the same kind of style that your style would mesh well together. As soon as you hit the curtain, you're high action, you're unpredictable, you're all over the place. Someone like that, you would run the shoes right off of Brute Force 2 with someone like that. I mean, they literally would run them right out of their shoes.
Yeah, that would be a really good pairing, you know, with you know, me and Josh. We have like similar styles, and because we both hit the 450, so
right.
I don't know, Team 450.
That'd be the 900.
Yes.
Imagine coming off the corner each time. That'd be the 900. No one gets off with 900.
Actually, we would call it the team over 9,000.
Wow! So you already got a name for the tag team. You need to talk to Josh Saturday. I'm telling you. And you could tell him it wasn't my idea. I don't mind.
Okay, I'll let him know.
So Tracer, if you could hit the reset button and go back to another era in wrestling, what era in wrestling would you go back to, and why?
Wow. I would go back to probably, I know it's probably not like an era, but like 2003, right when I, you know, really started to watch it. And it was just like, it was, to me, that was just like amazing. Like, it just captivated me. Like, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, wrestlers like that. Just like, because right after WrestleMania 20, when, you know, Benoit won the title, that was just like monumental for everybody watching. It was like, finally, he gets a shot. So, like, that to me is like when good wrestling was. I know other people are going to be like, oh, you're wrong, it was the Attitude Era or something else, but everybody's got an opinion. I'm not going to say that they're wrong, but I'm not going to say I'm wrong either.
Okay, now as a wrestler, I mean, I know we might not want to say that we're ever influenced by anybody, but if you had to say out of anybody, wrestlers, dead or alive, that you were influenced by, who could you say that you were influenced by?
I really enjoyed Paul London. Him and Brian Kendrick as a tag team and singles competitor, just, I believe those guys were absolutely phenomenal.
I could see that tag team, you're influenced by. See, I see that. I had that vision. That's why I'm a great manager. I had that vision. Vision. Can you see vision? Vision Corning owns Beats and Money, owns some. I've never mind.
Yeah, your mind reader, man. You know what's coming.
So who do you think is the greatest wrestler of all time, and why?
Oh, the greatest wrestler of all time. That is a really tough.
Okay, it doesn't have to be one. You can do the top five if you'd like.
The greatest wrestler. You know, there's, like I said, there's so many, but like top five, like, I don't know, Benoit, Malenko, Eddie. I mean, those are the top three, I would say, just because they're all, you know, very good technically sound and actually wrestled. Like, they could hold an armbar for 20 minutes and the crowd would eat it up, like, you know, they just hit the biggest move of the night. But it's because of the story they told. I enjoyed their matches.
Yeah, that's great. Let's see, what else? What else do I want to ask you? I want a good question. I want one's going to make you think here. One's going to make you think. What do you think, if anything, is wrong in professional wrestling and indies, and if you could change it, how would you change it?
Like indie wise or like WWE?
Indie wise, because we work in indie. I mean, WWE is a huge monster, and I think that companies handle their own business. And I mean, I could talk for days on that. We could do that on the second question, but on the indies, what do you think? If you could change something, what would you change?
Indie wise, I feel like a lot of guys have egos bigger than what they really have. I mean, in some days, I my head is swollen, I know. But then other days I get, you know, checked, and I'm like, no, I really did horrible, like, comeback recess. But, like, there's some people that, you know, think that the sun shines out of their ass, and they are the God's gift to earth. So some people just need to, you know, step back a little bit and, you know, be put into perspective.
You've been wrestling now, what you say, five or six years out of all the places that you've wrestled, what town has the rowdiest crowds?
Forest City SWA. Like, God, those guys are amazing. Like, there could be 20 people and you would never know, like, how they're so loud. Like, you would think, like, there's 200 paying fans, but there's, like, 10 or 15 out there. And, like, I would rather have that than go to a crowd of, like, 500 where they're just sitting on their hands. Like, I don't know what to cheer for. So.
So if an aspiring up-and-coming wrestler was to step up to Tracer X and say, Tracer, you're a great wrestler and I want to be a wrestler like you, what do you recommend for them?
I recommend training for as long as you can, and definitely stay humble. Because if you don't do that, then people will make sure that you are humbled, and I don't think that they want that.
In your opinion, what is the best way to promote pro wrestling?
To promote? Social media, it's growing nowadays. So definitely take to any social media you possibly can, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But, you know, there's also those that don't have social media and all that. So, you know, posters, putting them on cars, just handing them out. Hiding them in bathrooms, yeah.
Exactly. I think the grassroots effort at the end of the day is the best method. Because I've posted I don't know how many times until my fingers fall off on Facebook, and 1,000 people say they're going to show up, but they don't. So, yeah. So if you could go back in time in wrestling and change something in wrestling, what would you change?
I wouldn't change anything, honestly.
Nothing?
Because everything, you know, works out how it should. Because anything that, you know, you think should be changed, it gets, you know, resolved later on to bring you whatever factor, like, wrestling wanted you to feel at that time. So, like, they're telling a story, and you think, oh, this guy should have won, or they shouldn't have did this. They just got the reaction that they wanted out of you. So they're not going to change that at all.
See, if that question was asked to me, and someone was like, you'd go back in time, you could change something, I would take a film of how wrestling is right now and show it to Vince Sr. and said, this is what your son's going to do to pro wrestling. This is how he's going to destroy it, so there's not going to be any wrestler out there besides WWE. He's not going to have no competition, and 25% of his list of their viewers are going to go away since June. This is how they got. This is what's going to happen to your beloved wrestling, Vince Sr. That's what I would say. That's just me. Don't mind me. I'm kind of a little out there. Too much coffee today. I would do that. You wouldn't do that. I would do that. I would say, man, he's going to destroy the territory. He's going to go against all the other NWA promotions, and he's going to put wrestling and all the competition out of business. He's going to get complacent over the years, and he's just going to put anything on TV. He's going to have wrestlers out there that aren't trained, and they're going to go out there with a bad gimmick and fall on their faces and blame it on the Raiders then. I don't know nothing about wrestling. I could shoot for days.
Okay, we got a caller online now for area code 803.
803, that's the Carolinas. Columbia, South Carolina.
Area code 803, you're on the air on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Hey,
And that person, as soon as they came on, they left. So
good. I didn't want to talk to them anyway.
They were scared. That was probably a CWA wrestler. Who was you supposed to wrestle Saturday night?
Crucifix.
That might have been him calling scared. Might be scared. Who knows?
Yeah, he's afraid he ain't gonna be there.
That might have been Josh Magnum asking when you guys are gonna start being a tag team. 803. So
that's fine. I don't want to talk to them anyway.
Yeah, they're probably scared. You ain't as cool as you are.
Okay, the caller is back now.
Here we go. Let's
see if the person will talk.
They're going to hang up on me.
Who's on the line? Don't be afraid. I won't bite. Not hard. I think you're messing with us, James. There ain't nobody there. He's just messing with us, Racer. That's what it is, Racer. So,
yeah.
Racer, any road stories, backstage ribs you'd like to share with the fans? I love those stories.
Backstage or road stories?
I know you got a good one. Everyone's got a good one. One that you could think of makes you laugh every time you hear it.
Makes me laugh every time. I don't know about makes me laugh, but this was the first time I ever got shot at. Here's the story.
That's a good one. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's this fun story. So, this is back HVW days, Hendersonville. Myself, Josh Cutshaw, and our friends TJ Kincaid and Little Chris, who... He's got cerebral palsy, scoliosis, but he's super funny. So we're all hanging outside the arena one night, just talking, chilling. This is hours after the show. This car drives by, and for some reason they just, like, fire up in the air. So we're like, okay, cool. This car makes two U-turns, comes back, and then points at us and shoots at us. So we're like, huh. Okay, well, I think it's time to go now. They hit the car beside us and the building behind us, but nobody was hurt, which was a good thing. The cops show up, and the first thing they do is pull into the parking lot where our friend TJ is. I should point out the fact that he is black. And they first go to him. He's got his hands out the window like, I didn't do it. Don't shoot me. And then, we get this all taken care of. And the promoter, the first thing he says is, don't post this on Facebook. We don't want bad publicity and people not to come to the show next week. So I was like, wow, thanks. We almost died, and that's what you're concerned with.
Yeah. Yeah, about got killed, and you're worried about if someone hurt, someone got shot at in the parking lot. What a piece of crap. God.
And then his next thing was, yo, man, that's where I parked my car. I wonder if it was a rival company coming to take me out. We're like, yeah, that's definitely
what
it is.
Wow, yeah, they came to take you out. They're worried about your promotion. What a freaking mark for himself. If I was there right now,
Joker.
I'd punch him in the mouth. God, what an idiot. People like that.
Okay, here we go, 803, you're on the air on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Again. There's no one there, James. I swear you're ribbing us. Anybody on the air? Who's on the line?
Who's on the line? 803
James.
Area code, you're on the air.
803.
Going once.
803.
803. Going once, going twice. Gone.
James is calling from the 803 area code in and just trying to mess with you is what it is, I think. No, it's probably 803. I posted that when you started talking about the CWA title, I posted that you were live talking about CWA. So it's probably a CWA fan, and of course everyone knows CWA fans are stupid, and they don't know how to use a freaking phone. So they're probably got gorilla fingers and dialed it. They probably ordered a pizza. They think that this is Domino's. Who knows?
No, sir, we don't deliver large sausage.
That's behind the dumpster, hon. Let me ask you this, Tracer, and this is a different one. You know, there's different people in pro wrestling behind the scenes, and you know that because everyone comes to see pro wrestlers, and you know, but there's certain people, you know, that we work with in the business that are professionals. Who's the best referee that you like to work with?
The best referee? I have two.
One.
So, Jared Fritz, mm-hmm. He's a referee at CWA. I really like him just because, you know, he's a great guy inside and outside the ring. Yeah. Just all around nice guy. And Kevin Pierce, he travels all over. He's Ethan Case's friend, roommate,
okay.
One of his boys. So, you know, I just his character in the ring, like, he's just so, what's the word I'm looking for? He's, like, charismatic. There it is.
Charismatic. There you go, bro.
Like, when he counts, like, one, two, and, like, he, like, gets into it, like, yeah, that was two, son. I wouldn't go that far, but, yeah, that's, like, how it goes.
Yeah, I've been blessed to work with different ones. Jamie Tucker was one of my favorites to work with. I got to work with Jamie Tucker just before he went to TNA. I was the last match. I worked. It was Gunner when he was still Phil Shatter in the Indies versus Eugene, and that was one of the funnest matches I ever had. And there's a picture out with him reaching through the ropes and putting the three in my face, saying, "Nuts, it was only three. He only got a three count. Three." And I was like, yeah. He had the three up. And I'll tell you, that's one of my favorite matches I had. He was one of my favorites. And another one is Rusty Young. I don't know if you ever have worked with Rusty. Rusty is one of them guys that just gets it. When you'll see Rusty in the ring, he'll sell every move that you did. I got a picture with when he was wrestling six, and Timber was up doing the moonsault. And then when he's coming down, you see Rusty's face like, ooh, that's going to hurt on his face. I love a wrestling manager and a wrestling referee like that. That's a guy that knows his job. See, there's different people that don't get the credit. I think referees should get credit out there. I think announcers should get credit. Who's your favorite announcers?
Microphone Man from SWA, because, you know, he, social media, he hits up everybody. He'll send them private messages, post on Facebook. He's everywhere. Bill Hazelwood. I really enjoy him, because December, he, like, really puts over, like, the teachers and stuff, and, you know, he just tries to make sure that the crowd's into it. It's like, hey,
I agree.
Guys, how you feeling? Brett Wolverton, another great guy.
Wolf's good. Brett Wolverton's great on play-by-play, too. That's probably one of the second favorite play-by-play guy I've ever worked with when I've done commentary. My favorite guy to ever do play-by-play is Joe Wheeler. I don't know if you ever know. Joe Wheeler's he lives out in Asheville, and he works in Tennessee. He's been overseas, worked in Japan. He's been all over the place. Joe Wheeler was, his timing was impeccable. When I would do commentary with him, it was the first year in CWA in Orangeburg, and Joe would do play-by-play, and when it came, he would give me time. He would tap me on the shoulder. He had his hand around my back, like he was just like, "Hey, how you doing, buddy?" And he would tap me on the shoulder when he wanted me to feed in some color commentary. I mean, the timing was just impeccable. I mean, he's the ultimate professional, if you ask me, as far as play-by-play guys. So, is there anything that people don't know about you that you want people to know about?
No, not really.
Not really. Yeah. They see what they see is what they get with you, and that's a good thing. I mean, you're one of if I was your manager and I had to give you one of the monikers for you, mine would be the unpredictable Tracer X. That's what I would call it. That's just me, the unpredictable, because you never know what you're going to do out there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people. Like, they're like, "Oh, man, did you do gymnastics? You do all these flips." No, not really. I just had a trampoline. So, like, it's, like, unpredictable, like, the things that I do as compared to, like, what people think I do. Like, oh, wow, you
yeah,
do
you,
this? That's so weird.
Yeah, you like you said, you don't have the – what you don't have in size, you make up for in other ways 100% over. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in pro wrestling today is because – they're so programmed by what they see on TV that if you're not a certain height, they don't think you're a good wrestler. If you're not a certain weight, you're not a good wrestler. If you don't have a certain body style, you're not a good wrestler. And that's the biggest lie in the world, because I've seen some wrestlers that don't look like they'd be worth anything, and that's nothing against them, but come out there and they're phenomenal wrestlers, you know? I mean, like James Drake. James Drake is one of them guys you look at, you're just like, okay, he just looks like a big, tough guy that can whoop your ass in a barroom fight, but you think that, he ain't no wrestler. He gets out and does some phenomenal things in the ring. I'm like, wow, he could go. You know, guys like that, just, you know, big country, big wrestler. But that's it. And WWE wouldn't want a guy that big because he doesn't look good on a lunchbox. But can go out there and super kick your face off, you know? Wrestlers like that. Timber, I mean, I know we're not best buds right now in CWA, but he says he's 280, but I know he's over 300 and does moonsaults, you know, like a cruiserweight off a top rope. First time I seen that happen, it blew my mind, like, wow, you know?
Yeah, that's like the first time I saw James Drake hit a moonsault. I was like, did that just happen? Like, I stopped people and asked them, like, that did really just happen, right? They were like, yeah, he does it all the time. What's wrong with you? I've never seen somebody like that do that, but just phenomenal work from people like that.
I really don't have any more questions to ask you right now. I mean, I could ask you some other ones, but they're not at the same quality or level, and I think you pretty well summed it up, if you ask me. James, everything else, anything else for him?
No, I don't think so. That pretty much covers it all.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, brother. Is there anything you want to tell your fans that are listening, brother? Any last words?
The rest of the year, I'm booked up in Orangeburg, in Charleston, I think, for WrestleForce,
mm-hmm.
team of Michael Freely,
mm-hmm.
and then UIW in Spartanburg on the 26th.
Nice.
And I do have a ton. What now?
That's
this
nice.
Then I do have. I can't hear. I'm deaf. And then I've got a ton of Tracer X shirts, you know, throw your X up. I have a ton of those I'll have with me at the next couple shows. So,
nice. So merch is important. To me, that's another thing. I can appreciate a wrestler that takes time and promotes himself, puts his merch out, puts himself out. Too many wrestlers think that their job starts as a wrestler when they walk in the back door, when they take their boots off, it's over for the week. No, wrestling continues on and on and on. And, I mean, like, for instance, when James announces all the wrestling matches that are coming up with different events around the states and North and South Carolina, I mean, wrestling doesn't stop even though we think it does. It never does, you know?
Yeah, that's a year-round thing. Somebody asked me last week, like, so you do this every week? I'm like, yeah, I've only had like 3 weekends off this year. I really miss those 3 weeks.
Like, those 3 weeks
I hated
off,
not wrestling.
Right?
But yeah. You got to have at least 1 weekend to rest and relax.
I think so too, because if you don't do nothing but rest, you get burned cut on it. All wrestlers, even the WWE, only work 360 days a year.
Yeah, got to have a little time off.
What do they do those 5 days? Talk about wrestling?
they study it on the network for a low price of $9.99.
I got one last question. If you could wrestle any wrestler dead or alive, who would it be? That's a cool one.
Any wrestler dead or alive.
And why?
And why? Oh, see, now you just threw another curveball in the mix. I'm going to have to think a lot longer.
Yeah, you just can't say that. So just say something. You got to say why.
God, there's just, like I said before, there's just so many good ones. But, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to go back to Paul London. Paul London and Brian Kendrick. Because
one.
I think that we would have a good, like, cruiserweight match. Like, high-flying, but, you know, technically sound. I think that our styles would match really well. Or, you know, maybe even Josh Magnum. Who knows?
I could see you doing some table ladders and chair matches. I could see you doing some crazy matches like that. I think that'd be right up your alley.
Maybe a ladder match. I haven't done one of those yet.
Yeah, I think you'd be phenomenal in ladder matches. I've seen some great ladder matches. One of the greatest ladder matches of all time I've ever seen was Xavier Knight versus Josh Magnum. That was a great ladder match. The Xavier Knight versus Johnny Blaze that's now living in Philadelphia for CWA was a great ladder match. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, brother. I don't know, man. It's already going on a quarter of the hour. It's been great. I mean, do us a big favor. I mean, we're promoting indie wrestlers. Tell everybody about our show. Tell the fans about the show, and let everyone know that this is the place that they can find out about pro wrestling.
All right, I will do.
I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Chris, for coming on.
I don't think I have anything else.
All right. We appreciate you, brother. We do hold an open door. Hopefully you'll come back on another day and give us another interview.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, brother.
All right. Y'all take it easy.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
All right. Tracer X, our guest on this Tuesday edition of Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
You ever notice James?
Are you ready to wrap up this edition?
I just noticed something. You ever notice when you think you're your last question, another question comes to mind? It always works that way. But no, I'm ready to wrap it up, brother.
It's all good.
It's all good. I'll save that question for another wrestler. But, that was a great interview. Tracer X is great. Yeah, he was open-minded and answered questions and told us a good road story. I love that. That was a good interview. And if you people haven't listened to the show, listen to the show. We're on every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night on the Power Hour. It's Joey Nux with my buddy James Shaver. James, do me a favor. Play that beautiful bean footage.
All right, see you tomorrow night here on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio. Good night.
People don't know it. I dance to this music while it's playing. Good. Play!
Play!